people see AI as a solution. So one hit solution, it'll fix all my ills. I can type in one sentence and I'll get an output and that'll do all my work for you. No, the more you put into it, the more time you spend giving it data, getting it to understand what you want, defining the output, defining the audience, you'll get that customized output and it'll work for you and it'll work really well, but you've got to spend the time with it.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. And we have a super inspiring episode coming up for you today. This, for me, is a bit of a pinch myself one. We have such a huge UK brand on the show today and very, very cool to get to chat to Ian, and he's sharing some super great advice that will be relevant to you whatever size of business you've got. We're going to be getting into how you tackle AI. We'll be getting into how you decide what to do. He'll be sharing some tips and tricks from the stuff they're getting up to at Oak Furniture Land. And his top tip answers are really, really good. And we go off on a bit of a tangent within one of those two. So very much worth listening right to the end of this one. And the reason we've got this guest on the show is not because I've spent the last 2 years battering down the PR team at Oak Furniture Land to get them to give me someone to interview. It's because Ian's just like all of you. He's one of the listeners to this show and he took the time to apply to be on the show. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my word, Ian's coming on. So if you would like to be a guest on the show, head to ecommercemasterplan.com/guest or use the short code ecmp.info/guest and get your application in. We'd love to hear from you. Please do make sure, as I said once already, to listen to the end of the episode because you will regret it if you do not hear Ian's top tips. Here we go. And now to introduce our special guest. Ian Macbeth is the head of e-commerce at home furniture business Oak Furniture Land. Founded in 2003 as an eBay store, they now sell via their custom online store, telesales, and their 70 physical real world stores, selling over £230 million worth of furniture in the UK every year. Ian's experience runs far beyond the world of furniture with past roles at Craft Gin Club, hair brand Josh Wood Colour, Vivo Barefoot, Ted Baker, and many, many more. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chloe. It's great to talk to you after listening to you for so many times.
Well, thank you so much for being a listener. Thank you so much for applying to come on. It's a real treat for us to have someone with your experience and representing a brand that is doing so much and generating so much in sales as well. So I think we're equally excited to be chatting to the other person here today, which is always very, very cool. Let's start though with how you got into e-commerce because you've had a very cool career. So where did it all start?
For me, I've started in retail 25 years ago. Almost 20 of those years have been exclusively in furniture. I started in IT. I was headed IT departments for a lot of that time, working for retailers, as they say, such as Furniture Village, Ted Baker, and those smaller startups as well. The difference between large businesses and small businesses was really interesting, the dynamism and fastness of small business, and then the weight that you can have and the spend power of the big businesses was equally interesting. I started getting really interested in e-commerce probably around 2006, and it was when furniture retailers at the time, the big retailers, they didn't really have an e-commerce presence. They advertised the stores and the locations, but they didn't have an e-commerce shop. And around that time, we saw suddenly a launch into e-commerce by the big brands in the UK. And there was this huge drop-off in footfall going into the stores. Oh. And it was because people were now researching at home. They were buying into the brands and buying into the product that they wanted at home and then going on to the retail parks when they wanted to purchase. So it was this massive shift, and it caught my eye, and I said, that's really interesting. I wonder how the technology overlays onto the e-commerce world to see how it affects the journey and pushes up that intent to purchase. So the big learn really was, you know, e-commerce isn't here just as its channel by itself. It's also there to better inform and better affect the purchase intent of the customer going into the showrooms and going into physical retail. And e-commerce has started, you know, all the technology around e-commerce is super sexy. It's where all the developments are happening. As a technology person, I really wanted to get into that world. So about 6 years ago, I made that decision to leave the IT world alone for the most part, and really specialize in e-commerce and try and drive e-commerce. And it's when I spotted the advert for Oak Furniture Land. And I said, they're looking for an e-commerce person and they're looking for somebody who's going to drive this. And it's to do with the technology and it's in furniture, which I've worked for so many years. The planets aligned. I applied for it. I got the job and it's fantastic now working here. We've got a great team internally. We've got some brilliant external partners that are helping us as well. And I still love the tech. I love seeing how the technology is affecting the journey, but I also like that immediacy that you get from e-commerce. If you're doing conversion rate optimization, you see the results. If you put in a new technology, you see the results. It comes through really quickly. And it's such a dynamic and interesting world to be in that I really enjoy being in the e-commerce side. So that's the potted history of how I got here.
Very cool. And I think we'll probably get on to how exciting your role is a little later on. But it does strike me with the way the e-commerce space is evolving at the moment, that having a background in IT is no bad thing, given the importance of having the right tech stack in place. And all the skill set that goes along with that is very much coming out of the IT space, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of harks back to, again, I'm just showing how old I am in this podcast. It goes back to the start of where e-commerce was almost a technology function. And you had the IT people were the start of the people who migrated into that e-commerce world. And now it tends to be marketeers that have gone into it, but they still need that technical support from agencies, from internal IT people. So having that technology experience, being able to say, this is the art of the possible, and then bringing others in that can help me with the marketing side of things. So I have a good merchant search team. We've got the rest of the marketing team, which I'm part of. It really adds to that. So especially with all this new technology coming down the line as well, needing to know what can we do with it? What's the problems? How can we resolve it? And where can we apply the technology? It's a really interesting skill set to have. I'm surprised more people from my background don't actually move into e-commerce because of how dynamic and interesting it is and the way it's going at the moment. It's just moving forward really, really fast.
So your role at Oak Furniture Land is head of e-commerce, which can mean a whole variety of different things. So what's the definition of head of e-commerce at Oak Furniture Land? What do you get to dive into? Which bits are under your control?
Well, the nice bits, which was conversion rate optimization, the creativity of user experience. We've got the search and merch team who are working on how to get the most out of Algolia, which is our recently implemented search tool. And looking at the analytics as well, part of my background's in BI and data. So being able to provide all the analytics is a big boost as well. So we've got a core team who are doing those elements. And then we pull on other elements of the marketing team. So performance marketing, who are doing all the digital ad spend. We've got the SEO team that sits there as well, and we assist with that. We've got a big IT team, internal IT team, who's doing all the development work. So it's about the core e-com team and being a customer of other departments so they can pull this all together into an offering.
Wow. So it's fascinating, isn't it? Because you could say it's just the website, but then actually the tech, you know, the IT team are building the website and the SEO team have got inputs on the website. So I quite like the way you explain it as being UX and conversion rate optimization, because I think that makes it make a fair amount of sense. Does it also lead to, because you mentioned when you're explaining, you know, how you ended up where you've ended up, that there was that footfall impact as people started using online to research and so forth. So do you have much interplay with the physical store team and the point of sale and those kind of elements?
Something we want to do more of going forward, certainly. I've been in the position for a year and a half, 2 years now, and it's all been about trying to optimize the site that we've got, trying to fix some of the issues that we had, and making sure that the site's converting with real good e-commerce basics. And we've done a lot of that at the moment. The next stage of that, there's a piece around taking it on, personalization, but also that omni-channel piece where we're saying, how do we pass the baton between the website to the telesales team, to the stores and back again? The business had done a lot of that previously, especially around the COVID time, but we want to go back and revisit that. So there's about to be an alignment between the channels where we start working a lot more closely together. And that again is an exciting concept when we start thinking about a customer who's buying furniture. They don't just come into the store and buy straight away. They don't just go online and buy instantly unless they're after a little side table or something like that. If you're buying a sofa, there's this huge consideration period. People are researching long before they're in the consideration of picking the item that they want. Sometimes people have started their journey maybe 12 months ahead at the point that they're just starting to think about moving house, and they're getting excited about it, and they start saying, oh, well, you know, what can we put into this house? What sofa? What styling can we do for it? And they start browsing and start to have this subconscious buy-in to the brands that they want to shop with later when it actually comes to picking and purchasing. So, you know, when we start thinking about these journeys and people coming onto the retail parks and researching in there, when they come onto the website and research there, even when they see the adverts or the radio, we try to think about that end-to-end journey and how we're going to link and how we're going to pass the baton between them all. So, for example, in the shops, on our price labels, we have a QR code, which when you scan that, it takes you, and we've got free Wi-Fi in the stores as well, it takes you to that product page, but we have a customized overlay on that page that shows a summary of it, which is designed for that store. But we also make sure that if somebody scans that code and then goes on to purchase, that we are attributing that sale to that store location, which makes it fair, and it brings that omni-channel feel, and it brings the sales consultants into that journey as well. So that's a long way of saying there's a lot we try to do with omni-channel, and it's about tying this journey together that goes across all of our channels.
So is that individual QR codes per item of furniture per each of the 70 stores?
Per range. So we have big tickets that say, here's the Montgomery sofa range. It has a couple of different SKUs on it, and then the QR code sits on that. So it's, it's where the term big ticket comes from, because the tickets are physically big.
But then that's good, because you want them to be unmissable when someone's physically in store, so they can find it and QR code scan it. But what a clever way of giving that credit back to the store, which is often a challenge when you've got the omni-channel, is who gets credit for the purchase, especially when it's a physical product. But let's not go down that rabbit hole, because there's so many things I want to ask you, Ian, and that one I think has been covered a lot by people. What I love about how you took us through that is how, you know, there's a lot of people turning over 500,000, 1,000,000 who are trying to do everything all at once. And what's really clear from how you outlined it all is like, we've tackled this, and then we tackled this, and then we're tackling this, and next up we're going to be tackling that. How do you go about as a business deciding which bit you're going to tackle next? Because I think, you know, there are, I've often said, there are so many things you could do in any business right now, and especially in e-commerce. But the skill lies in picking what you should do. So how do you, your team, and the wider business go about working out which projects are the ones worth doing next when there's so much you could do?
Yeah, and in all honesty, we keep it simple. We go after the biggest value items first. Obviously, if you've got the quick wins, the easy wins where you can put it in, it doesn't take 5 seconds and then it's deployed and you're getting the immediate benefit. But generally, when we're talking about big projects, we're very fortunate. This is the fortunate side of working in a large organization rather than the startups. We have access to agencies and econometrics stats that can work out the effect of different initiatives. So, for example, if I was doing a PDP redesign, a piece, we've got lots of analytics, GA, Content Square, we've got Clarity as well, which is great for a free tool. And we measure the throughput, we have a look at the baselines that we get from the market, we have a look at some of the other elements that we've got. And it's nice having the showroom environment as well to compare to, because you see the differences in what's selling where and where we might be struggling. But then, you know, we value it. We spend a lot of time saying, what is the benefit that we're going to get and putting it in order of the benefit. Because you're right, we could go after absolutely everything. You wouldn't get the value, you wouldn't get the throughput. So we've got to pick our battles. We're still a small team and you still have finite resources. That's the same across every retailer, big or small. But yeah, as long as you're going after the highest value items and we're prioritizing what matters most to the business, that's how we go about it.
So that brings me on then to a question I have to ask you, because of your background in IT, because you love the tech so much, because you've already mentioned AI at least once, and certainly before we hit the record button. One of the things which, or AI is the thing at the moment, which has huge potential for e-commerce businesses, but also huge potential to be a big old bright shiny object that leads you down rabbit holes and distracts you and takes you in a bad direction. So how are you going about, as a business and personally, I suppose, working out how and where to deploy AI, to use AI to improve anything and everything? There you go. Big old question for you there, Ian.
Yeah, I'm so excited over AI. I remember when I was a kid programming my Amstrad, I tried creating a little language program that would answer me questions, and it just feels like 30 years later, we're finally in that time where, you know, we're really living in the future, that sci-fi future where you can talk to a computer and it learns it. I mean, not a Trekkie by any means, but whenever I see Star Trek, you've got a computer who you talk to and it's generating answers and taking actions and it's learning. That's agentic AI that we're experiencing now, except it's now and not 200 years in the future. It's amazing. In terms of where we are with our AI journey, there's a lot of retailers moving forward on this, but I find that it's a shame that a lot of people are just looking at it from we can do a chatbot and we can do copywriting on the website, for the website or whatever content. There's so much more and so much more potential. It's so deep and so wide. It's hard, like you say, it's very hard to try and nail down because there's so many new tools and new shiny features. But I think that old adage of, you've got to start with the business problem. It's got to be about the business problem. You've got to try to say, what is our problem? What are we trying to solve as part of the business issue that we want to move forward on? And then say, the very first question now should be, can AI help to solve that problem? So it's not about, let's try lots of tools, let's see what's shiny. Let's find out what the solution is. What's the problem that we need a solution to? And is there an AI tool that can help give us that solution? So, you know, the simple things, copywriting, doing call recordings, Gemini call recording is an absolutely great tool for just taking notes and allowing you to be freed up. That's all part of the productivity side. You've also got that automation side where you're saying, okay, go and do competitor analysis for me. Tell me what the offers are through all of our competitors. Have a look at our pricing. Have we missed something in the pricing? Doing some error checks, that low-level stuff. And then there's that customer engagement piece, which, yes, chatbot's part of it, but obviously AI imagery, UX optimization, copywriting optimization, it's all stuff that you can get into. And there's a big piece around marketing and targeting, intent targeting, and journey analysis, which AI is, it's completely built for. So it's, again, go back, say, what are our problems? Size up the problems. What value does this add to the business? Prioritize it and then go for it. And there's an element of, you need to be able to give people the ability to play with it as well. So it should be a bottom up and a top down approach where you're saying from your team, have a play with it, see what you can bring to the table. And then the top-down piece is the strategic. What's going to add the biggest value? Can AI fix it? Let's go at these.
That's what I was going to ask you about, is what you've described as the bottom-up bit, the going and having a play with it. Because I totally agree, we have to go problem first, solution second, not bright, shiny object. But you have no idea what the potential is unless you spend some time playing around with the tools to see what they can do and so on and so forth. So I get the allowing everyone to go and play with it for a bit. How do you personally do that? You know, if you've gone like Friday afternoons, I'm going to play with AI to educate myself. Have you gone on a course? What's your approach to getting comfortable enough with it to be able to answer the question, we've got this problem, can AI help?
Yeah, I hate to admit it, that last weekend, which was the bank holiday weekend, I did spend 3 days doing an AI qualification and then built a intent recognition model, see if I could do it or not. So it's, for me, I love the technology. I love playing with this sort of thing. But I think people need to firstly understand it. They need to understand what is a foundation model? What's a large language model? What's a diffusion model? How do you generate images? How do you generate videos? What's the different types? There's so many basic options out there. So there's a base understanding that people should do, but they should also do prompt engineering. Just, it's really simple. You can find a course anywhere. Go and just understand how to build your prompts properly, because people see AI as that. It's a solution. It's a one-hit solution. It'll fix all my ills. I can type in one sentence and I'll get an output and that'll do all my work for you. No, it's like every other piece of IT, every bit of data. The more you put into it, the more time you spend giving it data, getting it to understand what you want, defining the output, defining the audience, you'll get that customized output and it'll work for you and it'll work really well, but you've got to spend the time with it. The other bit I'd say is certainly security. It's got to be in a safe environment. You cannot just release people onto AI in your teams, especially in a large business, and say, here you go at it. If you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And if you're not paying for AI, the product's using your data to train its model for people who do want to pay for it. So you've got to work with the IT teams. You've got to make sure that you're working on a paid infrastructure. And also the just check your intellectual property as well. I know our IT team is spending a lot of time on legal with the AI, potential AI providers, just to make sure that our intellectual property is protected and it's not getting absorbed up into the models. So it's, for me, it's got to be in a safe environment. You've got to give people the tooling, but it really needs that security around it to be able to have that play.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. So Ian, after those mega thoughts on AI that were all completely spot on, let's get right down into the weeds of it all now. So are you ready for the top tips?
I am. Let's do it.
Excellent. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, I know it's a family show, so I'll use the word flip. The book I really, really enjoyed was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Flip by Mark Monson. I listened to this as an ebook, which really helped me. I listen to a lot of ebooks going backwards and forwards to work in the car. But with e-commerce, there's so many directions and so many things pulling your attention. You know, you've got merchandise and SEO, creative, conversion optimization, trading reports, team management, all the technology management. There's just so much pulling on you. You need to be able to prioritize. And this book was great because it says you've only got so many flips you can give. You've got to prioritize it and make sure that when you do the limited flips you've got, spend it on things that really matter. So it was a fun book. It's a really accessible book. I'd really recommend listening to the audiobook on it.
Excellent. I may just have to do that myself. Like, prioritization is increasingly becoming Chloe's word of the year. So I clearly need to add that one to my audiobook list. Ian, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I really think content marketing is coming into its own. Obviously, over the last year, and we've talked about AI already, but there's this new piece around search where now you've got search summaries, AI summaries at the top of Google. You've got ChatGPT and Perplexity and Copilot can all do searches. So we're all starting to think about position zero, what that AI summary is and how to get into that AI summary. And I love that term. I was looking for a term for it, and AEO is apparently the term for it, answer engine optimization, as opposed to search engine optimization. And I think the businesses who are really going to win in this area are the ones who actually have great content. And it's really great because, you know, we all want great websites. We want engaging websites with fantastic content. And maybe we've moved away from that slightly. But this is really encouraging great content. And I'll just talk about my previous business, Craft Gin Club. They are absolutely perfectly placed for this because content is at the heart of their product. They have a magazine which they publish talking about all the gins, but they also have a very rich blog which has things like cocktail recipes, food recipes, the where to go for a tour around gin tasting tours, and all about the distilleries. And these AI engines are going to pick up on all that great content. And so every time someone says, how do you make a pina colada, for example, don't think that has gin in it, but we'll just skirt over that fact. But it's going to draw on that knowledge. And then people will go to that page and then bounce through the links onto the site itself. So I think that content marketing side of it, really going into the next 12 months especially, is going to need a lot of attention. And look at how you bring how-to guides onto into your content, FAQs, what is X, and other questions that the AI engines start referencing your site as a knowledge source and then start surfacing up the search results, which will then power your traffic.
Yeah, something which we're looking at quite a lot at the moment, because we've got a lot, especially on the e-commerce master plan website, we've got a lot of dodgy old content that it just hasn't been worth spending the time deleting and redirecting. It very much now is worth spending the time, because everything I'm reading, the AI is it's kind of almost grading your site based on the overall content mix, not just the individual content mix. So I see a lot of marketers going back and revising content. A lot of recycling is about to happen.
Yeah, but as I say, if it brings great content to the website experience, that's what you want, isn't it, as a customer? You want to spend more time on the site. You want to get referred to the site. Spend more time on the site, which ultimately leads to more conversion.
Exactly. Love that one. Thank you. The tool top tip may be a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, and I know this one's been recommended to you before, and you were looking into this one, so I'd be interested to see how you've got on with it. But make.com. I absolutely love make.com. I've used it in the last four businesses. It's an automation tool. And in this day and age, when not only are you trying to automate tool and automate data sources, but also link data sources and also link into AI engines to get results, it's a perfectly simple tool for doing this stuff. So I've used it for sending 3PL fulfillments from Shopify. I've used it to populate data warehouses. We've done fraud alerts and eyeballing fraud to release that, automating spreadsheet population. I've done some competitor monitoring through the tooling. It's got that flexibility that maybe something like Zapier or Power Automate you really struggle with, but it's nowhere near as complicated as these big toolings like Delboomi and Trade.io. It sort of sits at mid to low level, and it's very easy for a startup to engage with the tool. The nice thing about it, huge amount of pre-built connectors, so you can connect it to many, many sources. Shopify, there's a ton of Shopify connectors for it. And if you can't find the connector to the system that you've got, it can hook into an API resource. ChatGPT and Gemini will give you advice on how to set these things up if you're struggling. And even if you are really, really struggling, there's a huge amount of resource and people on platforms like Fiverr who can get in, and you can spend a little money with them. They'll set it up for you and make these automations. So for me, Make's one of those tools that it really, really automates absolutely everything if you really want to, and is hugely, hugely powerful. And I'm surprised not more people talk about it.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? I've always been surprised more people don't talk about Zapier, which I know is now slow, is kind of being eclipsed and is busy paying, you know, playing catch up with what Make are doing. I always get very nervous, Ian, when people in the real world or when we're recording a podcast go, what you said in another episode, Claire, I go, oh no, am I going to remember it? What happened? But make.com, technically speaking, I haven't logged into make.com itself, but I'm currently doing a lot of playing around with a tool called Boost Space that's a like an Airtable alternative, but a bit different, which has Make hard-coded into it. So it uses Make to run all its automation. So I can kind of say, yes, I have got around to playing with it, but I'm technically doing it via something called BoostSpace, which we're trying to use to solve the CRM challenges we've got on the sales side of the Ametco business, rather than on the podcasting side of the business. But the other thing I love, and I want to pick out from your answer there, is you said about how Gemini and ChatGPT, et cetera, can help you when you get stuck. Confession time, I reckon the thing I use AI the most for at the moment that gives me the most positive impact is when I get stuck with low code stuff.
Yeah.
Going, even if it's like, how can I turn something that's all in column A in Google Sheets into three columns, or I've got stuck in Zapier, or I've got stuck in BoostSpace, or I've got stuck wherever it is, just game changer.
Yeah. And what I'd say is, in ChatGPT or Gemini, keep it all in that one chat thread. So if you're coming back to it, it recognizes all the questions and the answers it's given you and then continues the conversation rather than having to start a new chat and getting a whole new bunch of answers that don't relate to the original question. It's fantastic to get that sort of advice and having that level of companion through these low-code, no-code applications. Because again, they're designed for common people to be able to actually do some really powerful automations. So it's great, the combination of the two.
One doesn't have to learn regex anymore. One can just ask Gemini.
Yes, yeah. Although my daughter's learning Python at school at the moment and she's putting me to shame. So I need to get moving on that one.
I have to say, and I will get onto the final top tip, anyone who's listening and going, what's happening? Where are they going with this? I will get onto that in a second. But I think one of the things I wish I'd done earlier in my life, because I think it's too late now, it's just not the time to do it, would be to learn some kind of actual coding properly, not waffle my way badly through it, which would be the current scenario.
Oh, we'll have to have another conversation at a different time, even about how AI is going to affect coding, because that's going to be massive as well.
Yeah, possibly no longer worth learning. But anyway, I said I would get us to the last top tip question. Ian, the carbon top tip, what's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Oh, for me, it's just sell products at last. We work across a number of the retailers, but especially at Oak Furniture Land, we work really, really hard on the quality of the product. You know, you can feel it when you open the door or lift a table or just feel how hard the wood is. The quality is there to last. And we brought this into our brand platform. Our strapline now is Grow Your Home. And the whole idea is that you buy furniture that's going to last. And over time, you keep adding to your home with items of great quality. And every time at the moment I go to our local refuge center and go to the wood section, it is crammed full of cheap flat pack furniture, which been disregarded after maybe 4 or 5 years worth of usage. And it drives me to distraction. So for me, build the products that are going to last. So people only have to buy that once. Extend your ranges. Make sure that you've got more areas they can move into. You know, we have obviously gone from wooden furniture into mixed material tables and sofas and beds to try and extend that customer base. But, you know, make it so that it's hard wearing and lasts a lifetime, because that's what we want. We want to buy product and we don't want people to buy the same thing over and over again. We want to buy lots of different things for the rest of the home. But if we can get retailers to really concentrate on that quality and the longevity of a product, I think that's going to go a long way to save on the carbon.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And of course, the more we as an industry do that, the more consumers change their behavior from buying a new sofa every 3 years to buying a sofa that they keep for a lot longer, or a dining table they keep for a lot longer, bookcases, et cetera, et cetera. And it changes that consumer behavior. And it's so possible. If you look at how much the rise of Vinted, et cetera, has changed the marketplace and changed consumer behavior. I love that answer. Thank you, Ian. Right. Before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yeah, you can find Oak Furniture Land at oakfurnitureland.co.uk. I will also give a shout out to the new TikTok channel, because we are pushing some good content onto there. So we're at oak_furnitureland on TikTok, no cap. And on LinkedIn, you can find me, Ian Macbeth, MCBETH. If anybody wants to get in contact, please do.
Awesome. Ian, it has been so cool catching up with a podcast listener and someone with so much e-commerce experience. So thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me.
Great. Thank you.
So fascinating to chat to Ian there, and really interesting to find out, you know, that yeah, they're a huge business, but they are approaching things in the same way all of us should be, which is looking for the wins, focusing on those wins, and then that balancing act in AI between learning how it works so we can make the right decisions around it, but also going, we've got a problem, can AI fix it? Not just, woo, what can AI do today? And really interesting to hear him talking about how the legal team and the IT team are busy working out how the AI affects your IP. Huge topic, but it's whilst it's really, really cool to get everyone in your business and give them the freedom to start using AI to see how it can improve their performance and improve the business's performance, what you don't want to do is to have them using AI tools which absorb everything they tell them, thus destroying your competitive advantage and taking all your secrets to the world. There are systems that will keep things unique to you of what you put in, and there are systems that will just consume it and use it for other people. So theoretically, if Oak Furniture Land were using one of those, then a furniture competitor could manage to find a way to get all their information out of it. One worth bearing in mind. Before I go off on kind of like an AI and security rant, let's wrap up this podcast. To get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to the things we mentioned, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com, the soon to be much smaller website as we delete all our old dodgy content. No podcasts are being deleted, promise. It's the other stuff that came before the podcast. You could also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right page of the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things we get up to. If you like this episode, then make sure you check out our other episodes from big retailers. You will find all of them at ecmp.info/big. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.